Blue Wire.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again.
The Cleveland Cavaliers select Colin Sexton, Darius Garland.
Here comes Sexton. Some rhythm.
And he got it. Young Ball continues to wear him out.
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, part of the Blue Wire Network. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. Today, we have a very, very exciting podcast. We are going full squad for this one. With me today is my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how's it going, buddy?
It's Kevin Porter Jr. Height Watch. You guys should have seen Justin in the various chat platforms today, marveling over how close Kevin Porter Jr. was in height to Larry Nance, Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson, how he had to lean over to be the same height as Darius Garland. It was truly pathetic, and I was happy to see Justin getting hyped about the boys.
I was fully torqued, and I appreciate you doing the co-host thing of teasing what is to come. And that's a good
question. Was, is this your handwriting?
That is still one of the greatest references in the history of basketball, and that voice is, of course, pod favorite Ryan Morton. Mort, how's it going, buddy?
Well, it's good. I don't have 9 hours to talk like Carter, so I'll leave it there.
Oh, well, that's nice.
And then we will throw to our other guest, our man on the floor for Cavs Media Day, Evan Dammerall from Forbes as well as Fear the Sword. Evan, welcome back to the pod. How's it going, buddy?
Oh, thanks for having me. Not too bad. Sorry I kind of fueled your addiction to Kevin Porter today by sending you those pictures of him.
Yeah, no, you don't apologize to me. You apologize to Carter.
The pictures you're sending to Justin.
No matter what, they'll never be as bad as the ones Mort is sending to me.
He's addicted to those too, baby.
All right, good start, guys. It was media day, huh?
Oh, absolutely. I have fully relapsed on Cavs. I have relapsed on the Renaissance. I'm back, man. Like this was the heroin that I needed. We finally have some Cavs talk after about 6 months of absolutely nothing. Even though it's just a glorified picture day, this was pretty exciting. Evan, was this your first time covering a media day in person?
Yeah, it was. It was a pretty cool experience for sure.
All right, good talk. So this was the Chase Down Podcast. Please,
rate, review, subscribe.
I was going to go there, guys. They were tall as hell.
The biggest thing that I want to take away from Media Day is that our boy Evan did make a couple appearances during the press conferences. Unfortunately, mustacheless. What went into the decision to get rid of the mustache, Evan?
Well, you know, the Chase Down just offers such a great deal when it comes to Harry's and their fine razors. Did you know?
Oh, wow.
A factory in Germany.
You're not getting spiffed on that, man.
No, you're not getting stiffed on it at all. And
I said travel, you are not getting spiffed. You are not getting spiffed.
Mort, can you fucking cool it?
I wasn't getting stiffed here because it's such a great deal. Like the travel shave cover and just everything else. I don't know. It's picture day, like you said. And I didn't look like the resident creep with a bunch of 19 and 20 year olds running around. So I thought it was having
And was it Sexton or Garland who told you had to speak up?
It was Sexton who beckoned me to speak up, and man, it nothing feels better than have a 20-year-old tell you to speak up.
Really takes the wind out of your sails.
Oh, it did. I almost completely lost my train of thought as soon as you did that.
So I want to start with the height watch, because obviously creeps like Mort and myself are just all we're interested in is length. There had been some talk of Darius Garland being 6'4". I'm not buying it. Doesn't look like it in the pictures, which is very scientific. I think tomorrow is when we're going to get the official measurements. Larry Nance Jr. said that he wasn't proud of his real height, and he's not looking forward to that coming out. So I'm assuming he's going to come in at about 6'8". And then, as Carter alluded to earlier, Kevin Porter Jr., growth spurt watch? I'm keeping an eye on that.
Never knew how tall he was in the first place. What's the matter with you?
I knew how tall he was. Come on. Come on, Carter.
Oh, my God. So I actually do want to ask about this because this matters more than anyone wants to acknowledge. The fact that they're coming out with these actual official measurements and they're not allowed to wear shoes. Are they going to be listed at their height without shoes, or are they just going to add an inch to everyone?
That's a great question.
Oh, man.
I think they're just going to be listed in their height measured in shoes. So it's just
measured without shoes. Because that's what's happening. Yeah. Because all of a sudden, all these dudes are, we're going to have like 50 less 7-footers in the league.
I really feel for is the guy that has to make all of those edits in 2K like the next day.
Oh, the basketball reference dudes are just, they're miserable right now.
Well, I noticed that, who do you think is going to be on the Cavs the most shocking height? Because I maintain it's going to be Kevin Love clocking in at 6'6". There's no way he's taller than Jetty Osman.
I'm guessing 6'9 for Love. I think
he's listed at 6'10", and you know he was probably wearing lifts.
Yeah, I think 6'8", 6'9". Larry Nance probably looking at about 6'8" or 6'7". Porter Jr. Again, I want to keep coming back
probably
to that.
At least 6'11".
Yeah. Pardon me.
Yeah.
He might be 6'11".
Him and KD are famous for not wanting to be listed at 7 foot. So.
That is exactly what they're known for. But to me, the reason it's intriguing is because if he's big enough to play small forward, that matters a whole lot for the Cavs, and it makes things make a little more sense. And the other thing that could help make this roster make a little more sense is if Larry Nance, what he was talking about, is true, that he worked on his outside shot, he worked on his ball handling. He had a pretty honest comment where he said that he dribbled a lot last year without knowing how to dribble. Which I thought was pretty damn accurate.
I set him up really nicely for that one.
Oh, did you now? Go off, Evan. Give us these insights. I want you to take control here.
You're the only one who has anything to add to this podcast.
Well, first off, I actually spoke into the microphone clearly on this question, so that always works out nicely. Yeah. No, I just asked him because he's mentioned to me offhand a few times that Bayland throughout the summer wanted him to work on his outside shooting and his playmaking to play more of a traditional stretch four point forward since Kevin's slotted to be the starting center this year. So I kind of lobbed him a softball just to say because I think somebody stole my thunder a few questions before. So I'm like, oh, let me just go with my backup question on this one. And I think he is going to be featured on the wing. Like he said, it raised an eyebrow, and a few people texted me saying, cause I guess Roto World said that Larry Nance is going to be playing small forward this year. And I said, I don't know if that's necessarily the case, cause I don't think he has the vertical quickness to play small forward.
Right.
But I could see him playing, like I said, just a point forward position.
Well,
spot, but I don't know.
If you look at it,
play five out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did too. I just took it as meaning we don't have any power forwards on the roster. And
there's Jarrell Martin.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Love can play power forward, and I think that's probably where he'll play for the most part. And then Nance and Thompson will play some five, but if not him, you're going to have to go small ball with Windler or Jetty at the four, which we know is not necessarily preferable. So I think you just look at a guy like a modern NBA power forward does play on the wing for the most part.
Yeah.
So that's what I took it to mean. I didn't take it to mean he was going to play wing, which is a very different kind of statement.
Yeah, I think he's saying that he's going to be a stretch big. He's going to initiate the offense. He had mentioned that he's going to do some secondary playmaking. And if he is capable of at least being somewhat of a threat from three, let's say Pascal Siakam levels of, not the greatest shooter, but you at least have to kind of account for it. That means all of a sudden it's possible to play him alongside Tristan Thompson for some minutes. It makes it feasible to get guys like John Henson or Ante Zizic into the rotation if that's something that Beeline wants to do. If Larry Nance was only really able to play center, that makes things a little difficult when it comes to kind of getting those centers into the rotation and Also just the issues of Kevin Love is the only power forward on this roster.
Mort, might I ask, do you buy it?
Them playing Larry Nance on the wing?
Nance or doing okay playing not center.
I mean, he did some things last year. He's a tough dude to, you know, kind of get a feel for, because he'll have the moments where he can hit threes or he exhibits nice playmaking, and then he does not the next time.
Yeah, I don't really understand how to pin him down as a player. Like, because when he says that stuff, it kind of scares me a little bit, because, like, do we really want this dude that involved? Like, the way he's talking is like, they're building the offense around me. I'm initiating, I'm shooting, I'm creating off the dribble. And it's like, kind of hope you could just be a high post passer still.
Yeah, there was a time last year that they did. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, if they play Windler any minutes before, I might march on them. I mean, he already has a stress reaction, right? He's already
on them.
He already has a stress fracture in his leg, and he is rail thin. We saw what it did to Jetty last year.
Mm-hmm.
If they have him banging with anybody, I would be frustrated.
Yeah, and Jetty at least had a little more weight than Windler does at this point. Like, I think Jetty has like 30 pounds on him, basically, and is a little bit bigger. So
anyone Jetty has 30 pounds on is not qualified to play the power forward in the NBA.
I think that's a very fair statement. Yeah, I think it's okay. The thing that was encouraging is, so it sounds like Nance is also expecting to play a little more perimeter defense. He had mentioned that I think he said he wanted to be among the league leaders in steals.
Which is in the tops in terms of deflections.
Right, right. And he was one of the worst rim protectors in the NBA. So if he's kind of abandoning that, and the Cavs are abandoning that, saying you're not a center, you're more of a power forward, especially defensively, I'm okay with that, because then they're not accounting for some sort of massive leap from him as a rim protector and kind of the anchor of the defense. And they know that that's something that they have to address. That also kind of made me feel like, even though Kevin Love is kind of slated to be the starting center, or at least that's the initial thought, I think we're going to see a lot of Love and Tristan again.
Yeah, what are we talking about with that? It's slated to be starting center. That seems a little off to me. That doesn't sound like something I've heard. If I feel like Nance is still going to guard centers, right?
I think he'll guard centers defensively, but Beilein did mention when he was talking to the presser that, at least offensively, Kevin's going to give a lot of people at the five problems. So,
well, I like that too. If Nance is able to shoot, like, I'd rather Love play a little, be able to roll and be a little more involved around the basket without someone kind of eating up his airspace. Like, he can't really afford just to be a spacer on this team.
Don't you just kind of say, okay, Kevin Love's going to defend the least mobile of the players on the court? Like, if it is a center, it's a center. If there's a Draymond type wing or a power forward that can dribble, I think that's where you put Nance on him and just kind of hope that his length and athleticism, at least in comparison to Love, will be enough to contain that. I think, like, it makes some sense to me, but I do think that you're going to see more of Tristan with Love than Nance, even if Nance and Love start together. I think that's something we're going to see throughout the year.
Yeah, I don't want to step on one of your topics for later in the pod, Justin, but I'm going to just a little bit. Who do we think is going to start right now after media day?
So the best thing about the Cavs, like, if you take out Jetty Osman, their five best players, three of them should be playing center and two should be playing point guard. So,
looks like we're going to revolutionize the league, boys.
Yeah. I can't believe Moore thinks that Jordan Clarkson should be a center, but continue.
But honestly, I would probably still start Tristan. I mean, especially since Nance has the versatility to kind of slot into whatever spot you need him to, at the four or the five, or apparently the two. You know, I think that's what I would do, is probably go with the Sexland backcourt, let them take their lumps, but then run Jetty, Love, and Tristan. But I kind of get the impression they're going to start Nance. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think they're going to start Nance. If I had to pick, I would do the Sexland backcourt with Jetty, Love, and Tristan, and then you just kind of rotate Nance into there. I think you'd have Sexton as the first sub and then let him run the second unit a little bit more, or even do that with Garland and just have Clarkson come in. Clarkson, we've talked about this before, but contrary to what it felt like watching it, Sexton actually played better with Clarkson on than off last year. So I expect them to continue to use him in that way and help them stagger the 2 point guards. And then it'd be nice if Kevin Porter Jr. could log some minutes at small forward, especially if Dylan Windler is going to be out. I think Thornwell is going to get some time there as well. Maybe he gets some of those power forward minutes because at least he's strong in those small ball minutes. But yeah, for starters, I think I'd still lean to going with Love and Tristan, especially if they want to have any hope of not being last defensively again.
Bro, it's a similar problem to last year, but it's a problem that this team has too many players that think they deserve to play for a team that's going to win 25 games.
Yeah, it really is. Evan, who do you think should be starting?
I'm pretty much in the same boat as all you guys. I think it should be Sexland in the backcourt with Osman at the small forward, and then you have Love and Tristan together as just it makes sense on paper, but I do think they are going to go with Nance at the four and Love at the five and then switch him out, like you said, put Love on the most immobile guy on defense and then have Nance maybe guarding the center in that situation. But
I will say that there's a lot of shooting on the floor in the Nance, Love, Osman, Garland, Sexton. If trends hold for Sexton and Nance has improved as much as he says he has, you know, like there is a route to a pretty good offense if that's your five starters.
No, yeah. I completely agree. And the funny thing is, so last year when Love was on the floor, the Cavs did have a top 15 offense. And that was with the guys that one didn't really want to be here. You also had your Blossom games and guys like that thrown into the mix. And I think just replacing them with, even though they're a little less experienced, just more talented players and young and hungry guys that are looking to prove themselves. I think this team's not going to be bad offensively. Like I wouldn't be surprised if we're around that 15th best offense.
Yeah, it just depends on your definition of not bad. Like, what's their upside? Probably 12th.
Yeah, middle of the pack.
Yeah, I'd say around that when you're factoring in just the inexperience there. One thing that Sexton did talk about, and Evan, I'm sure you can expand on this as well, was that offensively he watched a lot of tape on Dame and CJ to figure out what those guys would do off ball when the other one's initiating. Also said that he watched a lot of Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet, which you're talking about. Yeah, well he watched them.
I'm just laughing because it's contagious.
Wrong person on the pod.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have invited him here.
Oh, yeah. Let me just gather. And that laughter is, of course, Ryan Morn.
But can we mute more for the duration of this segment?
Yeah, no kidding. But he watched a lot of Lowry and Fred VanVleet defensively, which you're talking about guys, what their actual height is. I've stood next to Kyle Lowry, and that guy is 5'10". And Fred VanVleet is maybe even smaller. And the fact that those two are good defensively together with this – despite their size, I think that's a good duo to at least watch on the defensive end, especially for Sexton. Even though he's only 6'2", he's got a 6'8 wingspan. He has the potential. He's got the body type to be a George Hill type defender who defends a lot bigger than his actual size. Can you, Evan, kind of elaborate on what your thoughts are with kind of what Sexton has prioritized this summer?
Well, you know, when he was drafted, everyone toted him being a real gym rat, you know, blue collar player. Brings a lunch pail.
More likes to hear.
Yeah, brings his lunch pail into work, first guy in, last guy out, kind of thing. And you know, you roll your eyes at that, but then you hear him break it. First off, walks on the stage, and the guy. I mean, pictures don't do him justice. He put on a lot of muscle this summer. Because I think
Justin can only get so erect.
Well, it's kind of funny. I forget who asked him, and he's like, somebody asked him if he's moving over the two, and he cut him off right away and said, I'm not moving anywhere. I'm still playing point guard. And I'm like, okay, we're having this kind of talk today. So, it's just definitely interesting. He pointed it out to a few people that he spent a lot of time working on his craft this summer, just working on his shooting, making sure his motions remains fluid and just keep cracking at what was working last year for him. And then he also took a lot of time and looked at tape of himself, especially. And then, like you said, Dame and CJ, and then Lowry and Van Vliet, just to see like how it works in the 2-point guard system. And that's just something that, you know, people have been talking about in the background too, is that Portland model, which is something the Cavs are trying to emulate. I don't know if they're going to be able to do an execution right away, because you have a 20-year-old and I think Garland's 19 running the show. So it's definitely not going to be perfect at first, but yeah, no, Sexton seemed pretty level-headed and realistic that he had a lot of flaws in his game last year, and he, as we all know, he addressed some of them midway through the season, which is incredible in itself. So I have the utmost faith that if he says, listen, I sat down and watched a lot of tape of myself and what I did wrong defensively and what I did wrong in terms of playmaking and everything else, and I'm going to actively make corrections both by myself and with the coaching staff, I took his word at face value, and we'll wait to see it, but I have faith that it's going to happen.
I mean, and more being an asshole aside, like, it is – oh, yeah. Yeah, I can't – no one, like, is better at being, like, a complete troll, and then when you call them out, pretending to be so wounded.
I am
like,
really –
asshole? That couldn't be me.
It would – I have never – trolled that I know of. Witch hunt. This is a witch hunt.
Wow.
I do think like when it comes to Sexton's work ethic, he taught himself how to shoot last year, and like that won me over in a big way, because I just don't like point guards that can't shoot. I think it's an exhausting thing to try to witness, and teams that root for point guards that can't shoot, they're always the teams that put too much of an emphasis on point guard defense, because it's so subjective that they're like, oh no, this guy, he changes the game with his defense at the point guard position. And that's basically just code for this guy's a boring offensive player. More, we haven't touched base with you on your kind of thoughts on Sexton. Like, what do you kind of envision him becoming after that first season, and now what you've seen after this offseason, where he has added some strength, he's talked about kind of the right things on both ends of the floor?
Tough, because, man, everyone on the team is so hard to predict. Like, half of what he becomes relies on who he's, you know, defending with in the backcourt, because you have to, you know, communicate amongst yourselves. If he's playing with a rookie, Darius Garland, if he's playing with Jordan Clarkson. I know he got better with Clarkson after the first half of the year, but the first half of the year was so bad. Yeah. I used to post the numbers every single night about how terrible that combination was.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy that it changed by the end of the year, that it shifted enough that it was a net positive.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. That's the other thing that makes it tough, right? Like, who's the last player that you saw make such a drastic change in the second half? Like, he completely revamped the style of basketball he was playing.
Yeah.
And I can't recall ever seeing someone do that before.
No.
So
yeah. It felt unprecedented, which is why I was so impressed. It was like, okay, right. Well, maybe this guy is the level of gym rat that they said.
It bothers me, because it is like, I think all of our, you know, natural predisposition, aside from just being fans, is like when we hear gym rat, worked on his jumper, watched a lot of tape, it's like we all kind of roll our eyes, because we know that's not typically how it works. But like Sexton doing what he did from the first half of the season to the second half of the season makes you kind of just take him at his word a little bit more than you would with most of these guys. Like, and I do think, just like, you know, Justin always talks about the fact that he cut out what he thought was the best part of his game he had going in his game, which is his mid-range jumper. Like, the fact that he did study Van Vliet and Lowry on defense, which is like no one's really talking about how underrated that duo was as a defensive backcourt. More, take a lap. Like they are not like, especially like when you hear NBA players talk about good defenders, Fred VanVleet is never popping up.
Right.
So, but like the fact that he knows, like if he had said he'd been studying Pat Beverly, like I would be like, okay, that's nice. But Pat Beverly's like an uncommonly gifted defender, in terms of his instincts, hand, you know.
Yeah. He went with the hipster cut.
He did kind of do that. And it kind of made me think like, okay, he's taking this seriously in a way, like, he's trying to find replicable success. And right. I think it's really encouraging, and it kind of makes me believe in him just a little bit more, even if the results might not turn out that way. Like, it does feel like he's got good process.
And now to Mort for the snark.
Well, no, and I'm just, you know, none of what just was said happened as far as I'm concerned. So the other part of kind of projecting him forward is we know he has one elite, at least one elite NBA ability, right? He's uncommonly fast. Sure. So as long as he has that and some ability, he should, I don't know, man, poor man's Lou Williams kind of feels.
The worst outcome.
Right? Yeah. Like, I feel like he's a dude that's going to put up tons of points. Like Brandon Jennings, Lou Williams, you know, one of those guys.
Yeah. If he could be
picking dudes who look alike at this point.
Yeah. If he could be kind of who he was the second half of the season offensively, at least as a scorer, and break even defensively, that's a good player to have in your rotation. Like, even if it is as a sixth man, like, even if he is inheriting that type of Lou Williams role. Right. But with the added bonus of being able to play defense, that's great. I, at this point, I just don't see the point of limiting, because we just don't have the talent to justify doing that. Like, at this point, I think you just roll out him and Garland and hope that they can replicate the Portland model. And if I could go on a tangent for just a half second here, all the people that flip out, and I've seen a few Cavs fans do that, and why would you want to be Portland? All they've done is gone to the Western Conference Finals. Like, they can't get over the hump as is. That drives me insane. So the issue with Portland is that they reached a certain point and then just became complacent with it, and they never consolidated talent. They signed the wrong guys. Like, you can get to where Portland was or where Toronto was, and then you just don't get irrationally attached to your core of Lowry and DeRozan, and you go out and you improve. You consolidate that talent. We should be aiming for Portland.
Whiteside this summer, you dick.
Like, what's that?
They said, sorry, go ahead, Carter.
I said they got Hassan Whiteside this summer, you dick. Don't accuse them of not upgrading the roster.
Well, and that's the thing, like, or you do get irrationally attached to your roster, and then when the moment is right to trade for a Kawhi Leonard, you make the trade. Like, and that's what the Mavericks did in 2011. You know, they just rode kind of a Dirk train for a while until all the right pieces came together for them. They're just kind of treading water until their moment. And the idea that this crappy team that I like should not get better unless they get better in the absolute perfect way, like I do on NBA 2K and all of my favorite teams that actually haven't won a title do, when I'm listening to podcasts, sorry guys, in the off season, like, that's just stupid.
Yeah, I mean, I think so this we've said it a billion times, and I think we're all of like one mind on this. It's just so funny because, like, I still think it's a byproduct of us all getting a little bit older and a little grumpier, and just like, why would we ever root for this team not to be good as it can be in the short term? Because it's not fun to watch a shitty team.
Right, exactly. Like, if this team ended up being a second round or even a conference finals team, like, that would be so much damn fun. And we've talked about how they need to develop a positive identity outside of LeBron. And I think that's why they hired a coach that knew the Cavs back when they were a good team in the 80s prior to LeBron.
Bro, it's outrageous, but it's outrageous. I think we should hit our ad read first.
Carter, no, you have to get your comment in before we go to the ad read, because I can't go through the ad read knowing where you want to go here.
Guys, Bayline is so old. It's like, you know he's old, and then you see him, and you're like, that's an elderly man at the podium. That's grandpa. Yeah. I mean, oh my God. It really doesn't sink in until you see it. It's alarming. I said this in our Discord chat, something along the lines of like, he's 2 years away from like getting up to wash the dishes, and they're like, grandpa, no. What are you doing? I hope for the best. Hope he's a great coach, but oh my God.
Go ahead.
He's 3 years older than Pete Carroll.
Ooh. Well, Pete Carroll is doing something illegal.
Right.
Look at that hair.
Pete Carroll's face doesn't move for medical reasons.
He's 4 years younger than Greg Popovich.
Ah, there you go. How about that, Carter?
That makes me feel good, though. Pop's looking pretty old, too, man.
Yeah.
I just think there's something to, like, just, like,
he's one for
being that old and doing – what do you think the last thing that Beilein did for the first time?
Oh, my God.
Got hired as an NBA head coach.
I
love how fired up you are about this, because it's not something that I even like remotely care about. Like,
it's not that I care about it. I think he's going to be fine. It's just kind of jarring.
What flavor of White Claw do you think he drinks? Like, I feel like he'd be a mango or maybe a lime guy.
I'm thinking Werther's butterscotch, but that's just me.
But he might be one of those people that drinks natural. And if you drink the natural one, you're strange. Just so we're all on the same page here, you should not do that.
So I'm pretty selfish here. The thing I like about him being so old, and this is such a weird topic, but the thing I like about it is when they hired Ty Lue, he was really young, and in like 3 years, he appeared to have aged 30 years. I don't think Beilein has 30 years to age in his face.
So, when the face app craze was going around,
Evan is never getting credentialed again.
I took a look at what Beilein would look like with the old face on.
Oh no.
And he kind of looked like Al Davis.
Oh no.
Oh,
I'm just saying that man definitely has a jar of individually wrapped off-brand candies on his coffee table.
Oh my God. Poor Evan. He is never ever getting credentialed.
No, it's over.
And if you're looking to send a letter to Evan notifying him that he is banned from all CAS facilities, there's no better way to do that than ShipStation. When you're selling online, getting to your orders can be a real pain. It's time consuming, it's expensive, and there's so many carriers to choose from. How do you know you're making the best choice? That's why you need ShipStation.com. It's the fastest, easiest, and most affordable way to manage and ship your orders. ShipStation helps you get your orders out quickly, save money on shipping costs, and keep your customers happy, no matter where you're selling. Amazon, Etsy, or your own website, ShipStation brings all your orders into one simple interface, making them really easy to manage from any device, even your cell phone. ShipStation works with all the major carriers, including the U.S. Postal Service, FedEx, UPS, and even Amazon Fulfillment. So you can compare and choose the best shipping solution for you and your customer. They even offer big discounts on shipping costs. Now, any business can access the same postage discounts that are usually reserved for the large Fortune 500 companies. You'll always know that you're getting the best deal. No wonder ShipStation is the number one choice of online sellers. You'll ship more in less time with the best rates available. Right now, Chasedown listeners can try ShipStation for free for 60 days when you use code BLUE. There's absolutely no risk. You can start your trial for free without even entering in your credit card information. Just visit ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in BLUE. That's ShipStation.com, and enter offer code BLUE. ShipStation.com, make ship happen.
Justin, when you go through 66 years of life, like John Beilein has, you collect a lot of clothes, a lot of fine suits. But if you're a younger man, like me, you, Evan, not more, he's pretty old, you might need to up your suit game. And that's why we've partnered with Indochino. Indochino was founded on the belief that you don't need to spend a fortune on a custom wardrobe. a little pull back the curtain here. In italics, it just says, talk about how good men look when their suit fits well. They do look good. They look great when their suit fits well, and they look really terrible when it doesn't. So Indochino is made to measure, so you will look good in your suit. They make suits, shirts, coats, and more. Everything's made to your exact measurements for a great fit. The best part is that they're affordable. Almost all their custom clothing is under $400. Process is simple. You just choose your fabric, pick your customizations, and then submit your measurements. Your package will be delivered straight to your door in 2 weeks. You can get measured and design your suit at your nearest Indochino showroom, or just do it all yourself online at Indochino.com. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Blue Wire at checkout. Plus, shipping's free. That's Indochino.com. Promo code Blue Wire for $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more. It's an incredible deal for made-to-measure clothing. I'm still giggling about the thing at the top. You really have no excuse anymore to wear clothing that doesn't fit. That's Indochino.com, promo code BLUEWIRE. This is my favorite ad copy we've ever gotten. Because also...
I don't know why that tickled you so much. I think we just got the giggles. We got the giggles because of the excitement with the Cavs and also just that absurd beeline conversation.
I also want to say that this ad read at the top says, note, Indochino is pronounced Indochino, and I don't know how else you'd pronounce it. Blue Wire is a partner with Indochino.
Speaking of looking good, I got to admit, that picture of the five Cavs where you got the Sexland, you got Kevin Porter Jr., Love, and Tristan, it got me a little bit excited, especially when, as we've mentioned before, KPJ looking tall. I like it. I love the idea of him becoming a small forward and kind of having that Jared Culver growth spurt. Do you think that's ever going to be a starting lineup we see them use willingly? Like, not that there were so many injuries that it kind of necessitated it. Do you think?
I'm kind of curious as to why they picked that five.
Exactly. I don't know if I'm reading into it or what the deal is. Tristan seems really committed to the Cavs still. He seems to have really bought into this leadership role. And I'm wondering, like, so I think this is an interesting question because it's factoring in, one, Love doesn't get traded before that. Two, Tristan doesn't get traded before that. Or he gets signed long-term. Maybe a team-friendly extension, something like that. And then just also Kevin Porter Jr. blossoming into that role. So I'm curious. Evan, we can start with you. Do you think that's ever going to be a starting lineup we see?
Down the line, sure. This year because of injury? Possibly. But out of the gates, I don't know. Because Kevin Porter's a bit of a wild card.
He really is.
The Cavs view him as a top-10 talent. But he also has a lot of maturing to do, I guess is the right way to put it. And I think Fedor is the one who said it, but he talked to somebody in the organization and said that he's talented enough to be playing off the bench, meaningful minutes off the bench from the first night of the season. But because of his maturity issues, he could easily see himself playing in Canton for the better part of the year as well, developing. So It's a bit of a mixed bag. But realistically, like you said, if he keeps growing into the size of a proper small forward, why the hell not? Especially if he is as talented as the Cavs think he is. And I jokingly, before he was drafted, I called him Nick Young. But now that he's a Cav, he's just James Harden with a hitch in his shot. So if you get that.
he is officially crazy. Jimmy Butler. He is our Jimmy Butler. Mort, what do you think?
No, absolutely not.
Thank you, Mort.
I mean,
I feel like I'm being an asshole having to tell Justin to, like, take a deep breath.
It'd be fun, but there's just so many, there's too many moving parts. Like, you have Chetty Osmond in front of him, and the leap he would have to make to surpass, and I don't know where you want to put Chetty, but I would say he's serviceable to good NBA role player quality right now.
Yeah.
That's a massive leap for a 19-year-old, and you have to learn so much about how to play the game before you can make that kind of an impact. And without Chetty getting injured, I can't see him supplanting him.
So I just want to clarify. My question was even in the future, like even beyond this season. Oh, so like that's why I was saying it's an interesting question to me, because you don't know if TT's going to stay around. Like what do you think the odds are of one, the vets of that, that five staying around, and then KPJ growing into that role in time? Like, I just wonder, because they put them together in that photo, which might be reading a little bit too much into it, but it was a curious decision in my opinion.
My opinion for how they group the photos and stuff is just social filters. They're taking the players they get the most interaction about and creating the content around that, would be my guess.
That's a pretty damn good take. Yeah.
Tristan's expiring. You have Larry Nance on a long-term deal. I just don't see how they can keep Larry, Tristan, and Kevin after this season. Like, you can't, what are you going to do with three of those guys again for 50% of your salary cap? It doesn't make any sense.
That's fair.
Well, I think Tristan would have to take kind of a team friendly discount. Like, I think he'd only be getting like $10 million a year if he was willing to stay for that. But
I mean,
$10 million for him, $10 million for Larry, and then $30 million for Kevin puts you right at $50 million.
No, well, there you go. I'm not the math guy.
No, you're not. I have a sanity check question for you, Justin.
I'd be floored. I say zero.
I would say zero as well. Justin, I have a question that I need you to answer, and I need to answer it honestly.
Okay.
Because I think you're flying off the handle a little bit.
Okay.
What percent chance do you think there is that Kevin Porter Jr. is going to be a better pro than Darius Garland?
Zero.
Oh, fuck. I was hoping you'd pick too high of a number. It's fine. No, it's fine. You got to break a few eggs to make an omelet.
Yeah, I should say.
If you had answered it in a funny way, that would have been a big win for me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I shouldn't say zero. Maybe like 2-3%. The reason I'm invested in Kevin Porter Jr. is because I'm really confident that Garland's going to be a good pro. Like, I think he's going to be a really, really good player. I think the Cavs were fortunate that
he just need a second hit.
Well, yeah. So I think the Cavs were fortunate for him to fall a five. I think if he was healthy for a full season, he's someone that probably would have been taking over John Morant. And I think that Dylan Windler is going to be a nice rotation player. Like, I'm fairly confident that he is going to be serviceable. I think he's a good fit for the NBA. I think he can be in an NBA rotation, and he does things well. I just want Kevin Porter Jr. because he's that floor raiser. Like, if you hit on that pick and he is truly a top 10 talent, if he ends up being selected to an all-rookie team this year because he just breaks out in that way, that really does change things for the Cavs. And I think they already got a value hit in Jetty Osman. I think he's kind of already established himself that, worst case scenario, I think he's like your eighth or seventh man off the bench, which is, for a second round pick, is really, really good, especially when they're a good locker room guy. So the more hits the Cavs have, the better and quicker this turnaround and rebuild will be.
That would mean hitting on three first-round picks. I mean, I certainly like Windler and Porter a lot. I'm not interested in slowing down the Kevin Porter hype train.
No.
There's just a part of me that's like, man, who hits on three first-round picks ever?
That's my whole thing. I just want everyone to pump the brakes a little bit here. But I don't want anyone to be bummed out.
Yeah, I think Porter's a big guard. And that's where I think, like, if they view him as a top-five talent – I think it promotes the idea that we heard last year that they view Sexton's long-term potential as, you know, a sixth man. And that trio is kind of their preferred guard rotation going forward, with Porter picking up that big starting guard role. Although I guess, yeah, if he hit your growth spurt, he could be a three. Be bigger.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I always feel like this is like the thing is like if you're a 6'8" small forward, it's like nicer to have you be able to play power forward. But like if you're a 6'8" or a 6'7" guy and you can play shooting guard, I'd rather have a bigger backcourt.
Right.
I think that's where I am with Mort. Like, yeah, the Sex Lane backcourt's fun. It's got a cool nickname and stuff.
Well, and that's
but like,
actually an important question.
Go ahead.
So I've never heard anybody say Sexland out loud before, other than myself. So I've been kind of taking the cue off of you guys. Now, are we waiting until they establish themselves? Because it feels like it's something that, you know, you should be talking about, oh, you have the front court, and then you have Sexland. Like, it should be deep. It should be slow. Like, you know, it doesn't feel like, are we waiting for deference and –
Well, Mort, the thing you have to factor in is the Cleveland t-shirt economy does not wait until actual success. I mean, look how many brown shirts are out there right now. So I'm willing to pump Sexland right now. Evan, what do you think? Do you think this is something that we should kind of keep in the holster for now?
No, just roll with it. Like you said, the t-shirt economy is very fragile at this time, and the Cavs are already gearing themselves up for third fiddle, so you got to keep them relevant somehow.
Well, yeah, I wasn't saying don't say it. I just, you know, it's being said so casually.
Do you think it needs to be said with a little more panache?
I do. I like the way
Barry White.
Yeah. I like the way Ryan paused and then said it. Like, yeah, adds emphasis. The dramatic emphasis is a very nice touch.
You gotta, like, drop an octave or three.
More, I think you and I are in the same boat with no matter how we say something, no matter how we dress it up, it's never going to be sexy.
Try to come over and watch Sexland.
I think Mort caught an unfair stray there. Mort, I think you're plenty sexy.
I got John Michael on the TV.
No, Mort's plenty sexy. It's just, let's be honest, it's not because of the voice. It's,
this is fucked up. Mort, you should leave.
Some balls around.
You were invited here as a guest.
And yeah, no, I bullied everywhere I go, which is fine. Which is, you know, it's when you are beautiful.
Get there.
People will do that. So
that's fair. It's just because Justin's jealous. Don't you worry.
I dragged them down with me. Come on. What?
I think we made Justin feel bad more. What do you think? What is that noise?
that was a little much. That sounded like that thing. No, that wasn't me.
Okay. Because I thought you made that noise, and then you responded with, that was a little much, as your explanation.
No, it really didn't clear anything up.
That
wooden thing that you used in grade school, like orchestra.
I still don't know what that was. What is that? What was that?
Wait, you mean this?
Yes.
Yeah, what are you doing?
That's just me rubbing my finger against the pop filter.
Are you fucking serious?
Yes.
You know we're live, right?
hang on,
Evan.
Everybody clear out. Mort, Carter, shut up. Evan, we're going to do some ASMR right now. Give that a good 10 seconds of rubbing. I want to try something.
I feel really uncomfortable.
Did that do anything for anyone?
No, and I hate you guys. Thanks for listening to the Chase Down podcast.
Please
wrap this, Justin, for the love of God.
No. When you post this, right, you can post like a short audio clip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You absolutely have to make the teaser clip. Give that a good 10 seconds of rubbing. I want to try something.
Everybody clear out, rub it for 10 seconds. I want to try something.
10 seconds of just that. Just give that a good 10 seconds of rubbing. Don't give it any context. Post it and let people – they have to listen to it. So you get at least, you know, say 5 people click it based on that. You're up 500% on listeners.
I think Carter's a bad co-host
of our podcast network.
Yeah, Carter, I think he's a bad co-host because I think he's trying to keep us. He's trying to hold us back. He's trying to keep us too niche. I want to appeal to everybody, and the fact that he doesn't want to do a little ASMR, it's concerning to me.
What is ASMR?
I still don't really know.
Mort, I refuse to believe you don't know. You of all people.
I am Googling right now.
Okay. Well, while Mort Googles that, this is probably a good time to wrap this up. As you can tell, we're all really excited. We're feeling the joy with the Cavs finally kind of being back with this picture day. Oh, that was absolutely perfect. So that, of course, is Ryan Morton. Evan Damerall, thank you very much for providing us with some insight and dealing with us just being absolute weirdos here and possibly getting your credentials pulled. So thank you. Thank you very much for all your sacrifices today.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I do it for the team. That's all I can say is I'm fan first, coverage second. So if I get to get my credentials pulled or having fun, so be it.
Yeah, there you go.
Chase down first, correct?
Correct, correct.
That's what I thought you meant.
I don't just blow smoke up your guys' ass when I say you're one of the most enjoyable podcast experiences out there. I'm being genuine.
Mm-hmm. More didn't like that.
Well, you also give us 10 seconds of rubbing when we ask, which I do appreciate. And that puts you in another tier for me. The fact that you were willing to do that for us. So thanks to Mort. Thanks to Evan. Thank you to Carter. And thank you to all our listeners. You guys have been absolutely unbelievable. The fact that we've gone 6 months here without Cavs basketball and you guys have still supported us the same way that you have. It is really, really damn cool. And we really do appreciate all the support. If you do want to support the podcast, the best way to do so is by leaving a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe to help cook those books. If you want to be part of our exclusive Discord chat, you can send a screenshot of that review to chasedownpod@gmail.com and we'll respond with a link. You can also find us on Twitch. We will be launching that back up again once we kick into regular season mode. October 19th, I think, is the date.
13th.
Thank you. October 13th is the day that Carter and I have decided we are going to switch back to twice a week and get right back into our Cavs coverage. We will fire up the Twitch streams there. Wow, that is apparently a tough one for me.
You're struggling, Justin. Get through this.
So you can subscribe there, give us those premium subs and help support the pod. So thanks again to Carter for helping keep me on the track. And thanks to Evan and Ryan. And until next time, go Cavs.